All right, we're going to continue forth. I have this really long introduction of Sean Quinn, but in the interest of time, I will tell you that he has boundless energy and immense number of miles on the vehicle, spreading the word of libertarianism throughout the state of Maryland. And so we will, maybe without further ado, Sean Quinn, our gubernatorial candidate 2018.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Can you all hear me? Now, I'm going to do something really strange. I'm going to actually read part of a speech because usually I just come in to ad lib. But there were some things I wanted to point out tonight, so I'm going to kind of read from my speech. And it's going to start with you all know actor Woody Harrelson. He once said that my best skill in this whole deal is to be a conduit to try to bring unity to a group. Because I think in our unity, we will have the greatest strength. Now, my campaign has been trying to do this across Maryland since the last dinner we've had to share together. So that was when me and Christina got the nomination, and we hit the road running. So, like his sentiment, my campaign has spent the last several months bringing people together from all over Maryland. If you look at my team, which is mostly over there, you can see that we're very diverse. There's not a single race, a gender. I mean, we have everybody from all walks of life. We don't care who you are. You're welcome on this campaign. And that's what we want the whole party to become. Welcome to everybody so that we have unity and strength. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about the filing deadline just passed. And as you know, the Republicans, they're not even giving the Republicans a choice. They've thrown all their eggs in one basket, and they're going to try to reelect Governor Hogan. And we all know what Governor Hogan's done. Not much unifying. He's got his party all up in arms. Matter of fact, a lot of their top-end people have already donated money to my campaign. So that's a good thing. Unfortunately, there's only 970,000 Republican voters, so they cannot put us in the governor's office. There's just no way. It's not enough people. So we've spent a lot of time in Western Maryland, Prince George's County, and I say Prince George's because I was told the other night by domestic violence women that they don't want to hear PG. It's Prince George's, and if you don't want to say Prince George's, don't come here. So I will not address them as anything but Prince George's County. And that's been a very tough place for us to get in because it's very big on minorities, and they look at me and they don't see me as somebody that understands. That's changing this year. They've actually sat down with me, they've invited me to things, and they're seeing that we don't care if you're a minority, we think you're an equal. So, the Democrats have about 10 people that they're running right now. And so it's really going to be a circus to see what happens. But fortunately for me, the Democrats always invite me to everything they do during the primaries. So wherever the Democrats go to speak, I get to speak too. So I know we have a thing coming up with a women's group in Frederick soon, and that's always a big winner because the other candidates stand there and they get asked questions, and they really aren't expecting the questions they get. They don't have answers. Me, I never know what I'm going to get, so I expect everything, and I always have answers. So it works out really well for us. We're trying really hard to build a party with unity. It was really hard for me today to bring up this resolution, but Lorenzo Gazzanaga personally asked me to do it. And I tried to tell him, I said, look, I'm a candidate. You know, this is really hard. I don't want to be putting down another candidate. I don't want to be saying anything that's not unifying. But most of you have been here for a while know Lorenzo Gazzanaga. When he wants something done, he doesn't want to hear no. So it was very little I could do except say, okay, Lorenzo, I'll do the best I can. And I don't know if any of you know it, but he actually went in the hospital yesterday. He was having some heart problems. Likely, get to say tonight that he has been discharged from the hospital. He's home. He's got to do a bunch of tests, but he's doing well. And I let him know how his resolution worked out. So please don't hold the resolution against me. Because I really do want us to be unified. I don't want us to be divided. I want us to have strength. I want us to change the way Maryland's going. Okay. I'm going to talk about a couple things. I'm cutting my speech short because I was told that we were running out of time. So they said, get it done and get out of the way. So there's some big things that are happening now, and one of those is identity, gender, whatever you want to call it, where certain groups think that certain issues only pertain to them. And it's not really true. Every issue that pertains to any part of our nation or our state affects all of us. And one of those things is police brutality. A lot of people want to tell you that this is just the community of color have this problem. And that's not true. It doesn't matter if you're white, if you're Hispanic, if you're a woman with mental illness. The police beat up on everybody. And not only do they beat up on people, but we that don't get beat up pay the price when these people go to court, when these people are injured, and we have to change laws to protect these people from the people that are supposed to protect us. So we're really harping hard on a lot of reforms, like bail reform. One of the members of my team, she's a leader in bail reform in Maryland because it's really hard for a lot of people that need bail to get bail. So with her help, we're going to come up with a nice bail reform that we can put forth, and maybe people that really don't belong in jail can get out until their court date. See, I'm cutting it really short. All right. Places we've been. I don't even know where to begin. We've been to, me and Christina, my running mate, we've been to over 70 events since the last convention. That's a lot of driving. That's why everybody... Everybody's always mentioned how much I drive, and I'll tell you, I don't even know how many miles it is. I live in Southern Calvert, so everywhere I go is at least an hour drive, everywhere. When I go up to Northern Maryland, we're talking a three-hour drive. Just coming to the executive board meetings was an hour and a half once a month. So, and sometimes when I get to events, there might be two people sitting there. But it doesn't matter. They're all voters, and they ask to see me, so I do what I have to do to win, because we need a win. We need to be positive. We need to want to have a winning atmosphere. You can't come and just sit there and say, well, you know, I'm on the ballot. That doesn't get it done. If we don't have winners, then all the rest of the state sees as losers. So, can I ask any candidates are here to stand up? Okay, I want you to look around this room. These are the guys that are going to make this party successful if they win office. You need to pick one of these guys, and I don't care if you give money or elbow grease, you need to support these guys. This is the success of the party standing right here. Thanks, guys. Okay, recently I've been invited to attend a meeting with the Black Panthers of Baltimore. I was duly surprised, but they asked, and I said I would come see them. So, in the next couple weeks, me and Christina will be sitting down with the leader of the Black Panthers of Baltimore. And we'll be trying to come up with some resolutions to maybe try to end some of the violence in Baltimore. We've already met with local leaders in Hagerstown that were trying to end some of the violence there with their gangs. And they've made great successes there. So we've been working hand in hand with them to make sure that the successes keep going. We'd like to move that to Baltimore if we get elected, because there's far too many people dying in Baltimore. It needs to end. Some of the other things we've done, we actually were invited to the first ever Cumberland Gay Pride Festival. Not only did they invite us, they insisted that we speak, and they paid for our hotel room to make sure that we would be there. Now, this was the first ever, so they didn't have any money, so they really went out on a limb to give us a hotel room. And it was a success, and they're getting ready to have their second one, and they've invited us to come back again. So I must have done something right there. We also sponsored Hagerstown's Gay Pride and Frederick's Gay Pride Festival, which were both successful. From that, we were invited to sponsor a show at the Lodge in Boonesboro. It's actually a show put on by drag queens for Christmas to raise money for Hagerstown Hope. And it was, I've never been to a drag queen show before, but it was interesting and it was kind of a hoot. I didn't, yes, just like you see me now. Just because I'm open to everybody doesn't mean I dress like everybody.
I pay you $500.
Cash, I'm a libertarian.
That's incredible.
But the reason I tell you about these things is because I'm trying to show you that we do reach out to everybody. We don't care who anybody is. If they're willing to let us sit there and talk, then we talk. We don't go to these groups and say, hey, I'm a libertarian, and we go there, we tell them, look, I'm a concerned citizen from Maryland, and I think that your points of view are as valid as mine. I like to sit down and make things better. A lot of ears open up that way. They sit down, they have conversations. Some don't even know I'm a libertarian when I start, but by the time I leave, they know I'm a libertarian, and they're listening. That doesn't mean that they like every idea I have. Sometimes we have long conversations. Sometimes we have arguments until we come to some kind of agreement. But people are willing to listen to what we have to say after they get past the fact that we're libertarians. Because we do have this thing that we're going to be hard-assed about certain things, and we're all about being right all the time. And there's a lot of people that don't want to sit down and listen to that. They want you to listen to them. So I've tried very hard in the last year to open up my ears and be less of a talker. And my team has been of value to this. They've taught me how to shut up, and when I don't, they tell me, shut up. And I've worked really hard to listen to what they had to say, and we've come a long way. I have a whole bunch of other issues I was going to cover, but Stu did say, you sure you're good? Okay. Well, there was another thing that we've really come on board with lately that's become prominent in Maryland. As a matter of fact, Eric Blitz, one of our premier party members, has been on the front line of this for years, and that's the drug war, mainly marijuana. And we got invited to a few different functions, people who were supporting legalized marijuana, and some of them, as soon as they hear I'm there, they're like, you want to go on mic? We want to hear from you. We want to ask you questions. I went to an event in Baltimore. They asked me to be on mic and spend an hour and a half asking me questions. They videotaped it, and they loved me. And I don't know why. But I answered their questions honestly as fairly as I could. And pretty much, I believe in legalized marijuana. I think the whole plant should be legal. I do not understand why we're spending billions of dollars on a drug war. And they liked hearing that. So hopefully, if every pot smoker in Maryland votes for me, we got our million easy. So I've been open to everybody, and we even recently went to Annapolis right here for legislation day for legalized marijuana. And basically what they were asking was the legislators to let Maryland citizens vote on this issue. And you would not believe how many legislators think that you don't deserve the right to vote. They know what's good for you, and you should just accept it. So I had a few conversations, especially with Southern Maryland delegates who didn't even want to put it on the ballot or tried to hem around and said, well, I'll consider it. I said, consider what? You should be doing this because you represent them, not the other way around. So we'll see what happens if this bill ever gets out and we, the citizens, get to vote on marijuana. Now, I do have to tell you that when the marijuana issue came up, I wasn't always on the legalized side. When I was in the Navy, I was actually a drug tester. And I used to have to drug test sailors to make sure if they weren't smoking dope. And a couple of people would get put out of the Navy because they were. But I tried to be fair about it. When I got out, I became a deputy sheriff and a corrections officer. So, of course, I was definitely on the other side of the coin because I was actually putting these people in cells. The problem is, I also saw that these people come to jail and they really haven't committed a major crime against anybody except that they were smoking a joint. And now we stick them in jail and they're in a cell with a hardened criminal. What do you think happens? It's not good. They spend a week to a month to a year in jail with these people. They come out, and guess what? They're now a criminal. And that's how their life goes. Now, some people are strong enough to pick themselves up and get past this, but a lot of people don't. They come out, they find out that they're a felon, nobody wants to hire them, they can't make enough money to take care of their family, so what do? They resort to crime, and then they end up right back in jail again and learn to be an even bigger criminal. So the psychological effect on these people is awful. I mean, when you come out of jail and you're trying to take care of your family and you can't imagine how hard that is on somebody to know that you're failing your family, the people that mean the most to you. So hopefully, with Christina's help, we're going to come up with a program so when people get out of jail, they're going to have a path to follow where it helps them get a job. If I'm the governor, we're going to get rid of anybody that's just in jail for possession or smoking. They're getting out of jail, and their record's getting expunged because it's the only way they're going to get back on their feet and get ahead. And they haven't done anything to anybody. They haven't hurt anybody except themselves. So that's going to be a big push for us. And I was going to tell you all about the cartels and where it all comes from, but basically we should all know that all this illegal drugs, our money is going across the border, and it's going to drug cartels. And what are they doing? They're buying bullets, they're hiring police, military, and they're taking over countries. What happens then? All the people that don't want to be under that rule, they come screaming across the border trying to get away. And then what happens? some presidential candidate says, oh, this is bad. These evil people, we need a wall. Well, I'm not in favor of a wall. I think if we legalize drugs, we literally will cease the money going outside of our country. And there's no reason why we can't find an easy way to legalize marijuana without charging outrageous taxes. I mean, we have a sales tax here of 6%. That should be the tax on marijuana. It's what we tax everything else we sell. That's what marijuana should be. Then people that are sick that need marijuana, they'll be able to afford the medicine. There will be all these regulations saying you can't have this, you can't have, because marijuana will be legal. The whole plant. You want to make rope? Make rope. You want to smoke? Smoke. You want to make medicine? Make medicine. None of this really hurts society in any way, shape, or form. The only problem we're having in Maryland is the legislators cannot figure out a way how they're going to get rich off of you enjoying your life. That's what we have to end. Legislators are supposed to work for you. They're supposed to be passing laws, not spending bills. That's why we have a budget. So hopefully if we get in office, and with your help we can, we only need 1 million votes. Think if every one of you go out and find 50 people to represent, say that you'll vote for me. Those 50 people go out and get 50 more. It doesn't take long to get to 1 million. If you need me to talk to them, call me. I'll be happy to drive wherever I have to drive to say, hello, I'm Sean Quinn. What can I do for you? So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Do we have any time? Okay. If anybody has a question, please feel free. I will do the best I can to answer honestly.
Quickly.
Yes, sir.
You focus on legalizing marijuana. I'm of the opinion that we should legalize all drugs.
I think we... I think we could get there. I don't think we're going to get there this year. Because the problem right now is Big Pharm controls all drugs. And they haven't figured out a way where they can legalize these drugs and make a profit on it. So they're not going to release these drugs where you can get them cheaply. They want you to come to them, pay a lot of money, and make their CEOs as rich as possible. But I agree with you. We should eventually be able to legalize everything. Any other questions? You had a question? You were going to raise your hand. Yes, you.
There are a few issues in Maryland that I have recently witnessed. One is being sued criminally. And as a libertarian, you know, of course. How are you going to help constituents understand that you're not against a making ruling, but you're against force about that? And I think that will be a big backlash from the Democratic side and you held out.
Well, here's the trick. We don't really need to raise the minimum wage for people to make more money. What we need to do is lower the cost of living. Raising the minimum wage actually causes more problems than it solves, especially to the poor who are getting aid, because now they make $15 an hour and they no longer qualify for aid. So they get a little bit of a raise and they lose all their subsidies. So now they're in worse shape than they were before. So a better plan would be to find ways to lower the cost of living. Because we all know right now, every time the minimum wage goes up, what happens to prices on everything? It follows suit, so nothing's changed. We've raised the cost of living, raised the minimum wage, and everybody's still in the same boat they were always in. So the trick's going to be to find ways to lower the cost of living instead, because then those people making less will have more money to spend. Anybody else? Oh.
I heard a rumor.
Oh, no. Rumors in the Libertarian Party?
I'm going to be releasing a book. Is that true, and how can I purchase
it? It's a great to have your campaign manager right there with you. Actually, yes, we started writing this book about a year ago, and it's ready for publishing, and they're just waiting for us to finish designing the cover. And my campaign manager is sitting over there at my treasurer, and they are taking pre-orders for this book. It's only $15, and if you don't get it now, when it comes out, you can always write to us and get a copy of it. It's only $15. It's about 100 pages then?
Just under
95 pages. So it's a quick read, but it kind of tells you how we want to change things in Maryland and make it better for all of us. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I noticed that you started
shared with him at the community. And so, you know, that was a message that Hillary Clinton lost on, but from Kate. So my question for you would be, if someone were to ask you about the tax break and, you know, the trickle-down kind of effect that it's supposed to have, how would you explain that to a skeptic?
Well, trickle-down has never really worked because it's usually the money just stays at the top. It doesn't get trickled down. And what does is so minute that it doesn't make any difference. It's kind of like Governor Hogan all of a sudden has $1.2 million for schools, yet Baltimore schools were without heat last winter. Where was the money then? He's got something like $10 million he wants to spend for school security, but he had no money last year for schools. That's why trickle-down doesn't work, because the people at the top hang on to the money until they need it to do something for themselves. So I don't believe in trickle-down. I think the best thing to do is lower the cost of living for people. And it doesn't matter who the people are, all the people. I mean, I don't look at anybody anymore by skin color. Morgan Freeman made a statement once that if we want to stop racism, that we need to stop addressing people as black men and white men and just say, that's a man, that's a woman. And I think he's right. If we don't accept things like that and start looking at each other as human beings, then we have more problems to deal with, and the politicians are just going to use those to pit you against each other and solve nothing.
I don't know.
That's the chair.
What would you say are the two issues most, you've been talking to hundreds if not thousands of people, what are the two issues you've heard the most that are important to them?
Well, I think right now the economy is on a high, so people aren't too worried about the economy. Schools are always an issue, and especially now with West Virginia teachers just striking. So schools, especially when you get to Prince George's County and Montgomery County, they're very big on schools right now because they've had a lot of problems in their school districts. Marijuana is really big in Maryland right now because it looks like there's a chance that we might get legalized. Medical marijuana was just legalized. So marijuana seems to be a big issue wherever I go. At least it smells that way. But that's probably the big things right now, Bob.
Regarding marijuana, as far as they're looking for a hardcore legalization?
That's what they would like, but they're happy right now that they got the medical marijuana. They would like to get recreational marijuana. There's still some counties that don't really want medical marijuana or making it difficult. The way they set up the different distributors has not actually been fair, to say the least. So they kind of picked and choose who they wanted to be distributors, left other people out just because they weren't in the clique. So there's a lot of little things that still need to be fixed with medical marijuana that they're pushing pretty hard. Yes, Maria. Well, I hate to say that sometimes we need to regulate prices because we're libertarians. We don't really like regulation. But once in a while, you end up with people that overcharge so much that they even arrest them because they're charging too much for their drugs. So I think at some point we may just have to put a ceiling on what people can charge for things. But we're going to have to start at the low end where things start, you know, wood, steel. Things that are used to create products, because if those stay high, then the people creating products can't lower the price because they're paying for all the resources. So we need to start with resources, see if we can lower the price of resources. Another thing I'm really up for is any new house in Maryland should be built with solar panels. I don't think that when you buy a house, you should automatically get stuck paying a power company for the rest of the time you own that house. If you have solar panels, let them buy your electricity. Does that answer at least a little?
We're going to have to cut it off there.
Okay. Well,
but I'm going to take the host prerogative and ask you one last question. Do you have a website that I can donate funds to?
Actually, I do now. Chelsea can tell you, websites, what a pain in the neck. So we originally had a website. It was at citizensforquid.org, which is still up. And I had somebody on my team convince me, oh, we need to change the website. So we went to a .com. Needless to say, we couldn't get the donate button working. We couldn't get the graphics the way we wanted. So we ended up just having that website direct everything back to citizensforquid.org. The donate button's on there. It works. And thanks to Cornelius, he's kind of a graphic artist. He fixed up the website. We got it all modernized. There's still a couple things that we need for Christina to put on there. But other than that, it's up to date. And it's ready. You can donate money to there anytime you want.
Very good. Thank you so much. Yep.
And remember, you can donate up to $6,000 per election cycle. You all have a great time.
Well, thank you, Sean. Appreciate it very much.